In the book of Revelation, we read the words, holy, holy, holy. And there are those for many years who believe that the reason why we see the word holy three times is because of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Oh, that we would be in his presence one day, and along with all the angels from creation until the time we are with Jesus, you can hear them singing, holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty. And we will be in that number who will be saying holy and recognizing him for whom he really is. Well, by no surprise to everyone, this is Mother's Day 2025. I don't usually begin a message on a lighter note, but this morning I'm going to do so. The reason being, it was a story I told, oh, maybe 20 years ago, and I all of a sudden realized that there are a number of people in our congregation who wouldn't hear 20 years ago, weren't here, and didn't hear what I had to say in this lighter story. Actually, I'm impressed if you even remember what I had to say by 11 o'clock this morning, let alone going back 20 years. However, on the lighter side, it's a story about a mom and a dad and a boy by the name of Johnny. Now, this was Mother's Day, and Mother, would you believe, was in the kitchen making a cake for this very special event. Nobody else made the cake for her. She was making the cake for herself. So Johnny was coming along, and he saw the frosting on the cake. Now, you know, any young boy seeing frosting on a cake, he reached over and he took his finger like this and took a whack of frosting and put it in his mouth. And she said, Johnny, you got to cut that out. So anyway, that was it. And then she kept on frosting the cake. She just got it all smooth, and Johnny came up again and whipped his finger through it. By this time, she had a spatula in her hand. And so she just flicked the spatula like this. Sadly, some frosting left the spatula and went over that way. However, she was getting a little more annoyed at Johnny. So then the final straw that broke the camel's back was Johnny would sneak up behind her and he pulled her apron strings, and the apron fell down on the cake. Now, by this time, Mom was really upset, and she said, you get up to your room, and just you wait. Here's a familiar saying, just you wait till your father comes home. So he went up, and he went into the bedroom, and then he looked into the closet, and he said, no, I won't hide there. Let me see. Oh, I'll get under the bed. So he lifted up the bedspread and got under the bed way over against the wall. And then he lay there for a while, and he listened, and he heard a car drive into the driveway. He said, uh-oh. And then he heard the front door open and close again, and then he heard some talking downstairs. So he knew that his mom and dad had been talking about the incident. So anyway, Dad bounds up the steps, two steps at a time. He opens the door, and he goes to the closet, and he isn't there. He said, aha, he must be under the bed. So he lifted up the bedspread, got down on his hands and knees, and took a look, and Johnny says, hi, Dad, is she after you too? Come on in. Well, that's a worthwhile story for Mother's Day, and I've always admired Johnny and his quick thinking. Well, would you believe that the first official Mother's Day in the United States was 117 years ago on May the 10th in West Virginia. It was set aside by a lady waiting. She just wanted to honor her mother. Her name was Anna Reeve Jarvis, and her mother, Anne, was 72 when she died, and it was 3 years earlier. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a bill recognizing this as a national holiday, a national day to honor mothers the second Sunday in May of every year. Now, believe it or not, Anna Reeves Jarvis did not want this to become a commercial event. And so she did everything she could to not make it a commercial event. But would you believe that it's a $25 to $30 billion business today? However, Anna Reeves Jarvis, she, on Mother's Day, to honor her mother, she gave 500 white carnations to the local church, Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church. 500 white carnations. Apparently the white carnation is the flower for Mother's Day. I didn't know that, so I didn't buy any white carnations. But however, Just amazing. 500 white carnations in one church at a time. And she didn't want it to be commercialized, but she helped the commercial industry by buying 500 of them. At some point, later than that, Canadians also decided that they would make the second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day. And the truth of the matter is, even though the first day was in 1908, mothers have been honored down through the centuries ever since Eve became the mother. And when you think about it, mothers and the influence that mothers have had on their children. We are told that in a Jewish community that the mother, when the baby is born and put into the crib for the first time, the mother will stand over the baby's crib and will say, "The Lord is one God," and repeat this over and over again as the child is growing. Absolutely amazing that mothers will take a very special interest in the growth and the spiritual growth of their children. Down through the ages, if you've been reading the Word of God, you will discover that over and over again, it'll name a key person like a king of Israel and say his mother was. Name that person. Now, we notice that happens whether the person, the king, was a follower of the Lord or one who went his own ways instead of the Lord's ways. Always listed the mother's name. And I've often wondered why that would be. And I believe the answer for that is simply this, that the mother had such great influence on that child that it made a difference when he became a man. And so the scripture's pointing out that mothers indeed are being honored. Mothers have a vitally important role, and grandmothers, in bringing up children. Now, in honor of mothers today, we're going to read from Colossians chapter 3, but I have a few words to say before we read the scripture. This passage of scripture is for all believers, and obviously it applies to both mothers and fathers. But this morning, I'd like to look at these words as special instructions, a special message to mothers themselves. The rest of us can listen, and if it applies to us, then that is good. So let us hear the word of God as we turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. If you're in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1167. Let us hear the word of God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Notice that the Holy Spirit, in instructing the writer of the book of Colossians, Paul, he said, "You are God's chosen people." And I want mothers today to know that you never, never forget that you are part of God's chosen people. That God has a task for you. It is an honor to be a mother. Yes, it's an honor to be a father, but it's an honor to be a mother. And in that light, there are a number of key actions, action words that we find in the passage of Scripture that we read this morning. Let me just go over some of those action words. Clothed, bear with one another, forgive, put on love, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you, give thanks to God the Father. Wonderful words, action words, in which we ought to be involved. Now, when the Holy Spirit was telling Paul to write these words, clothe, that's an interesting word. It's very much an action word that carries with it some sort of a sense of urgency. Do this. Clothe yourself with all of these words. Clothe yourself. And the words that we stand out there are compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And then we do a parallel passage found in the book of Galatians. Now, in the first section, saw a number of red-letter words. In the second section of Scripture, these same words are highlighted. They're highlighted because they appear in both passages of Scripture. Look at these words found in Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What amazing words these are. Now, did you notice this is the fruit of the Spirit? Did you know that when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, at that precise moment, whenever that is, however old you were or are, the Holy Spirit comes to reside within you. And when the Holy Spirit comes to reside within you, he brings these nine fruit of the Spirit into your life. In a natural way, you and I are not be able to fulfill these characteristics like we should. However, when the Holy Spirit comes in, then we know that this is what he wants. The fruit of the Spirit then enters us, and that would be all nine fruit of the Spirit. This is an amazing truth. We do not all naturally have all of these fruit in our life. Some of us may have it to different degrees, but when God's Holy Spirit comes into our life, then these are all, there's emphasis put on them. And this fruit of the Spirit is available and open to you and to me. In reality, we know that we are weak and powerless and unable to manifest the fruit of the Spirit on our own, but it is, think about it this way, it is God's gift to us. The fruit of the Spirit is God's gift to us. Now, this is a supernatural event. And talking about supernatural events, let's just get this in mind. God's Spirit also provides a supernatural gift to every believer. It may be an enhancement of your regular ability. It may be an enhancement of your skill. It may be something brand new. But at your moment of conversion, God gives to you at least one or more gifts. There are a number of gifts that are listed in Scripture, perhaps up to 18 or so, and there may be others. It appears as though no one receives all of the gifts, will receive one or more. But what it does appear to be is that we all receive all of the fruit of the Spirit. So God's gift to us through the Holy Spirit, in resident within every believer, includes fruit of the Spirit. Mothers, whenever you're downhearted or overwhelmed by the cares of being a mother or a wife, do your best to remind yourself that you have been chosen by the Lord. You are here for this purpose. Keep in mind that the fruit of God's Spirit is alive, active, and well within you. Call on God's Spirit and ask him to well up that particular gift that you need at that particular moment. On one occasion, and that is, for example, if we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with the fruit of patience. Now, think about it for a moment. Generally speaking, we are impatient people, and there are times when we need more patience. So we earnestly pray to God, and we say, Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, would you enhance this fruit of patience that's already within me? Now, when that happens, beware. Beware. Why do I say that? Because God just may send something along at that moment that will indeed test your patience. And then you're going to find out whether you're relying on God's Holy Spirit's gift within you to come to the fore. So, be ready for it. It's going to come. But praise be to God. Now, we also notice with the fruit of love, it's being the first one in Galatians passage, and in the passage that we read this morning, in verse number 14, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So it seems as though love is the basis for the fulfillment of all of these fruit or gifts that are within us. Remember this, Paul also said, but if I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. What does that mean? In other words, it simply means lots of noise, but no substance. Lots of noise, but no substance. However, when we allow God's fruit of the Spirit, love, to overarch every other fruit, then this is a praise God item, and you and I will be amazed at what a difference it makes. The truth of the matter is, you and I cannot exercise a gift without relying on the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. And it completely depends on our degree of reliance on Him. With love as the basis, we're going to take a look at some of these words that were highlighted in our scripture this morning and take a look at what it means. The word compassion. Essentially, this is a word that means we have a concern for the sufferings or misfortune of others. The King James Version uses the word bowels of mercy. Kind of interesting, but what it means is refers to the kind of concern for others that you feel in the pit of your stomach. You just have that concern for them, and you know that you want to do something for them. You want to help them come out of this difficulty, whatever it happens to be. There seems to be a lot of compassion that's missing today. For example, there was a time when we would often go to a store or go to a bank or go to some place, and we talked with the teller. And sometimes, as we were talking to them, they were able to interact with us, or in a store, or wherever it happens to be. And that was also true so often when you phone places on by your telephone. Now, all of that has changed. It's changed because very often we're no longer talking to another human. We're talking to some sort of a person on the other end, which is a recorded voice. And I don't know about you, this is when I need a call on the Holy Spirit for patience. When I dial a number and says, if you want so-and-so, press number 2. And then you press number 2 and it says, now if you're looking for such and such, press number 3 or press number 4 or press number 5. Now that's when my patience just begins to wear out a little bit. What I really want to do is talk to a person and let them put me to the place where I need to go. However, this is what's happening in this modern world. However, in the Christian world, however, in the life of interactions among people, we need to try and rely upon God's Holy Spirit to lead us as we do our part to empathize or to compassion with the other person. When I've been reading through scriptures over the years, I have always been so impressed with the compassion of Jesus. Jesus would go into a crowd, and he knew that the crowd was without a shepherd, and he knew they needed somebody to lead them. He'd go into a crowd and he'd see somebody who needed to be healed. He had such compassion upon them that he would reach out and he would touch them and he would heal them. There have been occasions when Jesus was so very busy going from point A to point B that people would come up to him and call him by name, and the disciples would say, get back, get back. Don't come. You're bothering the master. But Jesus, oh no. Jesus knew of their concern. He had such compassion in his heart that he would have that person come to them and he would heal them. This compassion of Jesus, if you and I could only have that kind of compassion in our life, how different it would be for our families and for our community. Then there's the word kindness. This is a word the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to use. It carries out the thought of being profitable, but not for me to be profitable, but rather that we would do something to the other person with the kind of kindness that would make them profitable. Kindness and gentleness can often be interchanged. Keep this in mind, of course, that sometimes kindness means that we have to be firm about something, especially in keeping our children on the right track. But as a kind of experience, and we need to have this fruit of kindness as we reach out to others. Then there's the fruit of humility. Humility or humbleness of mind refers to an outward expression of our inner attitude. Humility or humbleness is modest at best. Sometimes the word meekness is used. But now when using the word meekness, remember this does not mean weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Weakness is lack of strength. So meekness and weakness are not identical. Meekness is strength under control. And I think that Jesus was the most self-controlled person that ever existed. We've often heard the story, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Meek, not weak, but meek. Jesus had every strength absolutely under control in every situation. This is our Lord. This is Jesus. Can you imagine weakness? He displayed breathtaking and impressive meekness through it all. And Jesus is our ultimate example. I always smile a little when I hear the word humility. My dad, in joking, used to say, "Well, son, for humility, I'm tops." But that was a little bit of humor from my dad. Gentleness, another fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is an aspect of kindness. It's to be kind, tender-hearted, mild-mannered. If we think of the word gentleness, there are other words that help us. Humaneness, mercy, forgiveness, empathy, benevolence, kind-heartedness. As we teach of the words in this passage, we must keep in mind that it all emerges from the basic item of love. What was this verse again? "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." It's the love of Jesus working through you, working through me, as we reach out to others. Then there's this famous word that we talked about a little earlier called patience. Sometimes the word is called long-suffering, depending on which translation you have. Over the years, I have witnessed many people who have been praying for patience. It means also having tolerance for others. When others kind of annoy you, it's to be even-tempered, to have great understanding. There was a chap with whom I used to work, and he was a nice guy, but he always had sort of a scowl on his face under any circumstance. And one of my other colleagues, he said, "You know, Don is the most even-tempered person I know. He's always mad." But that's not what was meant by being even-tempered. That's not what patience is all about. Patience, like any other fruit, is a gift of God's Holy Spirit. As believers, it comes with the package, the Holy Spirit-filled package of both gifts and fruit. The Holy Spirit-filled package of both gifts and fruit comes into you and into me at our moment of conversion. And they are there, and we want to pray that these fruit and these gifts will be uplifted and come so far, come to the front of our lives to the extent that we'll be able to reach out and touch the lives of others. Patience, especially in the most trying circumstances, it's then we need to remind ourselves that we need to rely more on God's Spirit. I'm so impressed that when Christians, believers, get to the point of facing a challenge or a problem of some nature, we need to train ourselves to come to the Lord first. We need to pray about it first. And in so doing, we want to ask the Lord, whether we get the answer or not, we can still ask, "Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? What is it I'm going to learn? I know that in the end, I'm going to come out on the other side, not because of what I've done, but because of what you are doing in my life. And I know that all the fruit of the Spirit is within me, and so therefore, Lord, I want you to show me. And I want the fruit of the Spirit to emerge in my life so that others will be touched." You know, it would be sad if somebody looked at us and said, "Now there goes the most impatient person I've ever met." Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone looked at us and said, "There's the most patient person that I've ever met." In fact, as I look over these various gifts, I'm thinking this way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if someone said he or she is the most compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient person that I know. He or she reminds me so much of Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful if our life was lived in that way? That in fact, Jesus would be honored and Jesus would be glorified. This is an important passage of Scripture. It's an important passage for fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers and even great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers. This is important for us. It's important for us all to come back to this Word of God. On this Mother's Day, while we have observed instructions in Paul's letter to the Colossians, mothers and as believers, listen. Do not forget, in the words of Scripture, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. The peace of Christ, whatever the circumstance, let the peace of Christ. His peace is there. It's within you. It's within me. And do not forget to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. I've often examined that passage of Scripture, and it said, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm convinced that the psalms that we sing, if, for example, we put a psalm to music and we sing praise unto Almighty God, that's it. Like the 23rd Psalm, when we often put it to music. And then it says, psalms and hymns. I am so impressed with the hymn writers of old, the lyricists, those who have put the words together, and then others who've added music to the words. Just absolutely incredible to me when we think about it. And these are hymns. We sang some this morning. We sang them together, offering praise and honor and glory to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? Well, I think the Scripture in songs that we often sing together. And one of the pieces that the worship team sang this morning. These are hymns of praise that we sing unto Almighty God. And I thank God that we are in a situation where we are able to, as a congregation, we're able to sing and we're able to praise God. Sometimes when we're singing together, I stop singing and just listen to the congregation singing, because I am blessed as I hear the congregation lifting our voices up in praise and giving praise to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So bless each one of you whenever we join together to sing praises unto Him. I'm reminded of Fanny Crosby, who one time, a friend of hers came to her, and this friend had put together some words, and this lady had a new hymn, and she played the hymn, but she didn't have any words. So she went to Fanny Crosby, and Fanny Crosby, when she was playing, Fanny got down on her knees. Remember, she was blind, but the lady played, and then she said to Fanny Crosby, do you have any words to put to that? Yes, she said. And while she was on her knees, while this lady, whose name was Phoebe, was playing the piano, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste in glory divine. These words came to Fanny Crosby, and that became a beloved hymn. I'm just absolutely thrilled when God uses a person to take words together and put them in a hymn to offer praise to Him. That's why I believe that when you and I have fruit of the Spirit or gifts of the Spirit, if we have a gift of the Spirit, we are to use that gift or gifts to encourage the people of God and to reach out in mission to the people who are not of God. We want to reach out and touch them. So if you have a gift, make sure you're using that gift for God's honor and glory. I know some people formerly of our own congregation who have some great gifts, and they're using them in the secular world. Well, I'm not against that, but what I am against is I wish they were using these gifts among believers to honor Jesus. Put Him first in your life. Mothers, put Jesus first in your life. Call upon the gifts or the fruit of the Spirit, and praise be to God that you have been chosen by Him to be a mother or a grandmother, or a great-grandmother. Our Father and our God, we offer praise, honor, and glory unto you, and thank you that as a congregation, we are free to worship in this country, and we are free to uplift the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your gift of salvation, the gift of your Holy Spirit that comes in at the moment of our salvation. And your Holy Spirit brings with him all that we need to live and to function. Lord, we offer praise, honor, and glory unto you. Amen.